Let's grab our Bibles and open to Genesis chapter 9. This morning we pick up with humanity this side of the flood. And in the passage before us, we're going to note four things administered by God to Noah, to his family, and really to all of mankind here at this fresh new beginning. Genesis is a book of beginnings, and chapter 9 is a new beginning. So four things administered or prescribed by God as mankind steps into his refreshed world. Does anybody need a Bible? Raise your hand if we'll bring you one. Anybody at all? You don't have to get up, Wally, unless... No? We're good? All right. Well, by way of review, we ended with a sacrifice last week, an act of worship. If you remember Noah, he offered to God of the clean animals. And recall that his offering was received by God as a sweet-smelling aroma. And we discussed the significance of this sacrifice pointing forward to the ultimate sacrifice, which is Christ. I don't believe God's pleasure on this day was derived from the death of the animals. We'll be reminded today, death is not something to be taken lightly. I'm convinced the aroma was soothing and it brought a sense of rest as it foreshadowed a greater sacrifice to come, a complete work of atonement to come, which would be God's own work where he would send his one and only Son as the perfect Lamb of God come to take away the sin of the world. And in so doing, make a way of escape for us from the wrath of God and provide an entrance into the family of God. So that's what we left off with, remembering God's plan from the beginning to redeem us back to himself. That's something we need to keep in mind. In Bible college, I took a class called History of Redemption, and we went through the Bible. And from start to finish, you see that God had a plan to redeem us back to himself. With that, let's pray before we get into this chapter. Father, we are grateful to be here as your redeemed, those who you have purchased unto yourself. Thank you for that outreach of love and for bringing us into fellowship with you, into your family, and for providing me with these brothers and sisters and for giving us the freedom to get together and gather in your name, believing that you're here. Lord, I thank you for your word that we have open before us and that it's living, it's active, Lord, and you work through it to deal with very specific issues in our hearts. And so we turn our eyes to you this morning and ask that you would have your way, Lord, that you would speak your message. Lord, give me clarity. And also, Lord, give our ears just that ability to perceive your voice and to receive what it is that you have for us. May we all leave here encouraged and strengthened and just ready to apply these things by your power in our living. So we give you our ears, we give you this time, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, chapter 9, verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." So the first of four administrations of God to mankind that we note in chapter 9, it's pretty straightforward, pretty simple. It's a pronouncement of blessing. We just read it. And God blessed Noah. Now, as I read that, I was caused to recall what had just preceded this pronouncement of blessing. Think back. I just mentioned it in the introduction. An offering. And two points of application to consider from different angles here. First of all, for you worshipers, we talked of true worship being a sacrifice from the heart. Something that's a gift that we offer from a heart of love for God, whether it be in your song or with your time or with your finances or your plans or your time of prayer. When true worship takes place, note The worshiper will always walk away blessed. That's just how it goes. You bring a sacrifice to the Lord, you leave blessed. Now, you've probably heard the phrase, you can't outgive God. Has anybody ever heard that before? You know what? It's true. It's a beautiful truth. Unfortunately, this line has been hijacked and used by and abused by the prosperity church, by those who would preach a message of name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, right? God wants you to be rich. And they point to this principle of sowing and reaping, and they say, oh, you can't outgive God. If you'll just tuck in that love gift, God will open the storehouses of heaven, right? And just pour blessing upon you. What are they doing? They're manipulating and twisting the presentation of a principle that God has given us to bring in dishonest gain. It's true, you will reap what you sow. You sow to the flesh, of the flesh you're going to reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, of the Spirit you're going to reap everlasting life. That's Galatians 6, 7, and 8. And then in direct connection to giving, God's word tells us if you sow sparingly, Paul's talking to the church about giving to the church in Jerusalem, he says you'll reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. Those are truths in God's word for us to hold on to. But you know, that doesn't turn God into a cosmic vending machine.